Rosalind, do we have you on air?
Yes, you do.
Terrific. Okay, my listeners have been asking me for quite some period of time to have a show on what we commonly call chemtrails. So today's the day. Rosalind, why don't you begin by telling us what qualifies you to tell us about persistent jet contrails?
Well, I have been researching this subject since 2002, have developed within my research about 30,000 government documents, articles, everything I could find, water test results, everything I could find with regard to finding out what's going on in our skies, why we have jet contrails that persist for hours. One contrail can cover 4,000 kilometers and last for more than 20 hours. They're seen in the skies doing zigzags, cross hatches, enlarging. There's black contrails and various types of other plumes that the jets leave behind. And that it was beginning to obscure our sunlight reaching the Earth. And I began to have deep concerns because I was a California United States Department of Agriculture crop loss adjuster, and I worked for the USDA for many years, and in my duties there, whenever there was crop losses within the state of California, I was sent to various locations with other adjusters to determine crop losses within the state in the 1990s. And I was born and raised on a working farm. My degrees are in environmental studies and planning. And at the point that I started to do a lot of research, I realized that there was something going on that was happening to our skies that could impact crop production, could impact photosynthesis, which is needed by all living things to grow and grow healthy and strong and produce crops. And I began to be concerned that what was going on in the skies would have a negative impact.
Okay, Rosalind, let me interrupt you for a moment here. I was reading some articles concerning what we called chemtrails some months back, and I had a listener call in. He identified himself as being a commercial airlines pilot, and he stated emphatically that what we're seeing in the skies that we call chemtrails are perfectly natural. It's the result of modern jet planes flying at altitude. And he said the whole thing is a bunch of hogwash. How would you respond to that?
Well,
Oh, excuse me. Let me go one step further.
Okay.
I was so fascinated by his seeming expertise that I asked him to please contact me after the show so we could discuss it further, and he never got back to me. Now, so I had a little bit of suspicion about that. But how would you respond to him?
Well, jets do leave contrails made up of jet fuel emissions, water vapor, and ice crystals, the water vapor being a greenhouse gas. And he is right that there is a process in which, in other words, the jets flying can leave contrails. What is not normal and very different than in the past is that these contrails are persisting for hours and days, that they cover the whole sky, and that you have not only contrails that look white, but you have black contrails where we have something that looks like carbon black or soot within the contrail itself, and this can change our climate. And that NASA has stated unequivocally with many studies talking about man-made clouds that these jets do produce man-made clouds, that they exacerbate global warming, they change our climate, they negatively impact natural resources, one of which is that if you don't have direct sunlight reaching the Earth, you're going to have molds, mildews, fungus, and viruses proliferate because sunlight acts as a disinfectant.
Okay, again, let me play devil's advocate just for a minute and say, okay, all of that is true, but it's a natural product of our doing so much flying with our airliners. Is there any indication that these persistent trails are more than just the byproduct of the natural flying of jets at altitude?
Well, commercial airlines fly in straight lines because of fuel consumption rates, because of the expense of jet fuel. Commercial airlines don't veer off course for any reason. They don't do loops. They don't do crisscrosses, cross hatches, make circles around the skies. They don't move off track.
Yeah, I want to say that when I'm in one, I'm certainly appreciative that they go in a straight line and get me where I'm going.
Yes, but military airplanes, the large C-135s and others, are on another mission altogether. And they're the ones here in Northern California where I live that leave the gigantic big plumes. They're the ones that crisscross the skies, do loops, and move around in directions that are abnormal. And I obtained from Congressman Mike Thompson in the 1st District in California, he's a U.S. congressman, and he obtained a copy of the FAA records of commercial airlines and military flights over Mendocino and Lake County, where I live. And what they did is that when we looked at these flight paths, you could see the straight lines of the commercial airlines, unwaveringly straight. And yet, when you looked at the interflights, what you found is that they were the ones that were doing the loops and the crosshatches and all of these different sky events that we're seeing. And also, they're the ones that cover us over here in Mendocino County and just obscure the skies. And the reason I know this is because the flight paths of the commercial airlines going into the major airports, San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland, all fly straight line passes through Mendocino County, and they only cover a very small area. There's only around 400 flights a day in a 24-hour period, whereas the flight paths of these military jets loop around us all the time, and you can even follow them with binoculars while they make their passes and their loops. And they can white out our sky in about 3 hours flat.
Okay. From your understanding, has anyone ever contacted the Air Force and asked them why they're flying these, quote, weird patterns, and has there been a response from the Air Force?
The Air Force is very good at sending out letters to the constituents of Senator Barbara Boxer saying that they have investigated, there's nothing going on, it's all normal, and that the word chemtrail is a hoax. And this is, they have put this on their website quite emphatically since the 1990s, stating that the word chemtrail is a hoax. Mm-hmm. It's an internet conspiracy.
And please.
And when they write letters for Senator Dianne Feinstein, it means that she doesn't have to investigate. She uses them as the perfect foil to not have an investigation.
Because the Air Force has already answered it.
Yes.
Yeah, please go back to sleep and just watch Fox News.
Yes.
Okay. We had a caller, and so if anybody wants to call in, you're welcome to do so. However, I would like you callers to stick to questions pertaining to this subject and not just give anecdotal evidence of what they've seen in the sky. Because from my limited understanding, a lot of my listeners have seen stuff in the sky. So if you're going to phone in, please phone in with questions pertaining to the subject. And now that I've said that, we've got a call. You willing to entertain callers?
Absolutely.
Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Yeah, I fly around a bit in Mendocino County, and there is a thing up there called the Maxwell Military Operating Area that covers from Ukiah westward. And I don't know how far it extends to the east, but that's where they do military operations there, so they're going to fly around all the time. But interesting show. Keep going.
Thanks very much for your call. Okay, Rosalind.
Yes, Maxwell, MOA, Military Operations Areas here. There's MOA 1, MOA 2, MOA 3, but also any flight map for pilots that you can get from NOAA, and they're usually available.
What's NOAA?
NOAA. That's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Okay.
And so what happens is that these maps are available for about $8 to $10, and you can look at the whole United States. and you will see that there's military operations areas all across the United States. So the gentleman on the phone is quite correct. But the military operations areas, the jets that fly leave the military operations area and fly into areas where there is no military operations area over Mendocino County. So the flight paths of the jets that we're looking at on these FAA flight maps are showing the jets out over the Pacific, over land, up and down the state.
Virtually blanketing the state.
Yes.
Okay. We've got another caller. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Yes, Chamba. I'm glad to be able to catch your show today. And this topic keeps me curious. I drive to Lake Tahoe on a regular basis, and first thing in the morning, like just, you know, like right around sunrise, you'll see parallel lines of contrails, chemtrails, going north to south in a, you know, parallel line.
Okay, let me interrupt you here. Maybe you didn't hear in the earlier.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to phrase this as a question rather than an antidote. I'm giving
good. Okay, please do that.
Yeah. So I stop along the way. I get out my binoculars. I look up in the air, and the craft is not that far high. Not that high. Not like some of these huge military things that fly way up there at 40,000 feet. So they're small, but there's a huge plume coming out of them, and as your guest says, they do linger. Now, and when you ever see a jet, military or otherwise, the contrail forms and then it disappears within a few miles, or maybe 20, 30.
Okay, we're waiting for your question.
So here comes the question.
Oh boy!
With the difference in these plumes, have these different types of plumes been analyzed by all the people that are investigating? In other words,
we got
such a vast difference. Why?
Great. Okay. I've talked with her previously, and I'm sure she'll get to it. Rosalind, you want to get to that now?
Sure. I'll be happy to.
Terrific.
What happens is that persistent contrails used to dissipate rather quickly. And what we're seeing now is completely different. They expand. They are around over time. And what happens is that no one has the ability to fly into the wake of these plumes because they're either in military airspace or they would be too close to a military airplane, and thus the pilots could lose their licenses. So no one has actually taken, as far as I know, samples of the plumes to determine exactly what's causing the persistence.
Or what's the component of the air, the plumes?
Yes, that's correct.
Is it just soot from diesel fuel, jet diesel fuel, as the Air Force claims, or are there other chemicals?
Well, soot is a byproduct. The Environmental Protection Agency has many studies and papers on the components of jet fuel emissions. So, and soot is one of them, along with a series of toxic chemicals, particles, and other pollutants. But the jet fuel configurations over the last, well, since 1989 have been changing. And a military commander explained in depth how in the late 1980s the configuration of jet fuel changed, and documents and abstracts from Navy and Air Force studies show that they were using this jet fuel as for obscurant purposes.
Obscurant purposes?
Yes.
Obscuring sunlight from the planet?
Well, that's what they're doing, too, yes. Now, they could be using it for any number of other purposes, but they're definitely taking away our clear, deep blue skies like we used to have, and they're definitely leaving us in white haze and cirrus and other types of man-made clouds.
Okay. Before we get to some more calls, there have been many people claiming that these jet trails now have barium and aluminum. Is that been established scientifically, and is that a natural byproduct of a jet air engine?
Barium and aluminum are not natural products of a jet engine emissions. I've looked at all the EPA studies and I can't find it, so it's not there to my knowledge. And aluminum might wreck, especially particulates, going through as a fuel in a jet engine could wreck the jet engine, so I don't think that they would put it into jet fuel in any configuration.
Okay. Has it been established that, going back to our caller's question, what's in these contrails? Has it been established that there is aluminum and barium and other things in these contrails?
I can't prove it, and I've been researching documents and looking, and I can't find any documentation that they're using aluminum and barium within the even as a mix into jet fuel emissions. So I don't have any direct proof because no one has done the test and no one wants to talk about doing the test. So we're left.
There seems to be anecdotal evidence, though. There's evidence in groundwater and soil.
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to tell it? Before you tell us about that, we've got a couple of callers. Let's do that first.
Okay.
Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR. Okay. I don't know what happened to those two calls, but let's go back to the anecdotal evidence that there seems to be changes in our water and in our soil. And that seems to be linked or possibly linked to the chemtrails.
Yes. We're finding high levels of aluminum, barium, manganese, magnesium, strontium, a host of chemicals, which I have listed online on my website, californiaskywatch.com. And you can look under, you can look at it under California drinking water contamination. What you can find is the results of a study of all of the test results of drinking water sources in the state, in the entire state of California. The repository of those tests is the California State Department of Health Drinking Water Division in Sacramento, California, and it's free to anyone who wants to get a CD of those results. And what we have found is unusual spiking way over state and federal standards of aluminum and barium and strontium and these other chemicals in our drinking water supplies. Now, I do know from much research that NASA and the U.S. Air Force is has been sending up rockets and the space shuttle with canisters, which they release at various levels at the altitude. They take these canisters, which are loaded with aluminum, barium, strontium, a lot of chemicals that are packed into them, and they superheat them until they explode and they conduct atmospheric experiments. So I can't tell you, because we're getting chemicals from those experiments. In other words, whether the jets are releasing those chemicals or whether it's coming just from the atmospheric testing done by NASA and the Air Force.
Okay, but the end result is the environment is changing. It's being changed artificially by government agencies. We're not sure why.
That's true, but we do know that the persistent jet contrails, according to NASA, in other words, research books like Aviation and the Global Atmosphere, we do know that it's changing the climate, and we do know that it's exacerbating global warming, and we do know that the man-made clouds are restricting direct sunlight from reaching the Earth.
Okay, which is, of course, affecting agriculture.
Yes.
Let's take some calls. Caller, you're live on KVMR. Caller, you're live on KVMR. I have no idea what's going on with our phone system. And Steve Baker, if you're listening, why don't you come in? Let's try it again. Caller, you're live on KVMR. 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 Well, I'm sorry. For some reason, the phone system seems to be messing up, but the phone connection.
The next button.
This one?
No, the next button up above. Further up? Nope. Right there.
Caller, you're live on KVMR.
I'm going to reboot the phone system. Can you get your guest back?
I'd rather just have her talk. Caller, you're live on KVMR. Okay, I'm very sorry, but for some reason, I'm not able to receive incoming calls. Can we call that government interference, chemtrail interference, acts of God, who knows? Caller, you're live on KVMR. Nope, it ain't happening. Rosalind, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I don't understand what's... just a moment. We've got our station engineer that's trying to see why we're not getting any calls in, but until then, we shall proceed. Have we, I think we've handled that last issue, Rosalind?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I understand that if one wants to look at the U.S. Patent Office, there are many patents that various corporations have taken out that directly concern seeding the atmosphere for various reasons.
That's correct.
Can you tell us about some of them that might possibly be responsible for these persistent jet contrails that we're experiencing?
Well, there is a patent on actually a device that would allow for, in other words, which would produce contrails, persistent contrails. So there is a device that was patented at one time. And then there's all kinds of geoengineering schemes about putting up particles or chemicals into the atmosphere, and there's different methods to do that as well. And one of them, according to MIT Professor Emmanuel, is that you could take jets and load them down with carbon black or its soot, particles, and that you could run the jets on the West Coast, leaving these black contrails, and then as the contrails heat up from the black carbon, which is a heat source, they will create weather fronts that move across the United States, escalating in intensity until they reach the East Coast of the United States. And we have seen the black contrails. So there's all kinds of patents, devices, mechanisms that can be detached on planes that can release chemicals or particles, as well as sending them up with canisters and on rockets. There's all kinds of ways to change the atmosphere, and there's a lot of equipment, either weather modification equipment, for example, attaches right onto small airplanes, and can reduce different types of chemicals or particles in order to, in other words, change our rainfall as well.
Mm-hmm.
The patents are located on, that I have done research on, the actual patents are located on the AgricultureDefenseCoalition.org website. That's my database for having actual documents or newspaper references, things for research, as well as articles that I have written. So you can find a lot of information on that site with regard to the patents, and there's lists of them that tell what each one is about, so you can click on the one that refers to your line of interest.
Great. Okay. Let's see if we've got our phone patch fixed. Caller, you're live on KVMR. I guess not. Okay, I think we're going to have to give up on calls. Just a moment. Okay, we're just going to have to proceed with the show. My apologies to listeners. I know this is an interesting subject. I know you want to contribute. And isn't it interesting that when we've got a subject this controversial, that all of a sudden our phone system doesn't work? Draw your own conclusions. Rosalind, you told me a story concerning a man named John Fowler, I believe it was. Would you like to recount that story?
Yes. Part of my research led me into experimental weather modification, which is going on in the western states. There's over 60 programs listed by NOAA. This is all public record, so you can look up the type of weather modification, how it's done, what the purpose is, who's doing it. And I discovered that anyone can modify your weather here in California and in other states without prior public notification, without public consent, and that anyone refers to any private individual, corporation, weather modification company, state, county, local government, anyone.
Or a bunch of hippies living in the woods.
Yeah, as long as you have the money to pay somebody, you can have the weather wherever you want modified without public consent. And this is at the state level in California, for example, as one example. And this is also at the federal level anywhere across the United States. John Fowler, I dropped off at KTVU Channel 2 in Oakland. It's a local station there that broadcasts Bay Area news. And what I did is I went down and I left a packet about weather modification and jet contrails. And they called me, John Fowler, who's their science, he's the science editor of the news. And what he did is he called me and asked me if he could come up and interview me. And I found out during the course of the interview that he had graduated from the United States Air Force Academy, that he was a pilot and he had trained pilots, and he came up to talk about weather modification. I showed him some pictures of the jets taken over Mendocino County, and as soon as he saw them on the television set where the tape was running, he said, well, those are military jets. And he actually couldn't figure out quite why they would be flying and leaving visible plumes. He said one of the things they would not want to do is be visible. So that was of interest. But he did identify for me that they were military planes. So on July 28, 2008, he aired a program about weather modification. And the other part is that he also talked about the jets during that interview. And it was interesting because John Fowler made the following statement. And what about unintended weather modifications such as those persistent jet contrails that crisscross our skies? They are over Mendocino County where military jets practice. And Mari Ruth from the California State Water Resources Division in California and Sacramento said, they are blocking some of the sunlight coming in, but they also trap some of the heat. So the jury is out as to what the effects are, but those contrails do have an effect upon the weather and climate.
Okay. Thank you. We're still messing with the phone lines. But until we get them, all right, I'm not sure what's going on with them. The U.S. Air Force has admitted that they are dropping one particular substance into the air. It's called chaff. Would you please tell us about that?
Yes. Chaff is aluminum-coated fiberglass. It's used by all branches of the military. They use about 500 tons of these particles a year, and it's used around the world in every venue. And these particles stay afloat for about 20 hours or more or less, depending on wind conditions, but they do float for a long time.
Why do they use them?
They're used as radar disrupting devices and for practice, military practice, aircraft practice, with regard to being able to follow weather fronts and how they move. They're used for radar practice and obscuration issues. And so it's very prevalent. Now, these aluminum-coated fiberglass, according to the GAO, can have health problems associated with it. But it continues to be used because most people don't realize that there's a health problem associated. Wow.
That was interesting. What was that?
I don't know. That was loud. They don't know what's associated with the health effects, and most people don't know. So there's been very little discussion about this. But the military does release particles over us on a fairly consistent basis.
Okay, and these chaff particles,
mm-hmm.
since they have aluminum, that possibly is an explanation for why aluminum is showing up in our water and our soil.
Yes, it could be, and the particulates probably would not dissolve. They would, in other words, they would stay for periods of time before they leached into the soil. So there's not much about the mechanism, but there definitely is a lot going on that the military is doing that they're not talking about.
Gee, what a surprise. Okay, let's see. You also told me a story about a professor, I think his name was Fulmer.
Oh, KNBC TV.
Oh, and you, hang on just a second. I forgot. I got so interested in this and also dealing with the phones. I have to remind our listeners, anybody that tuned in late, the time is approximately 12:40 in the p.m. You're listening to KVMR FM, broadcasting out of Nevada City, California. Your host is Chambalane. The name of the show is Rabble Rousing. We're pleased to have as our guest today Rosalind Peterson. And, yep, that's it.
Chamba, am I on the phone?
Yes, shockingly you are, because I didn't press any buttons. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were talking with me.
No, I'm talking against you, but go for it.
Okay, what I was wondering is, does the, I don't know if this is even relevant, but does the presidential person address this topic, or does he even, is he even concerned with it, or is that known?
In other words, has President Peace Prize issued any statements concerning chemtrails? That's your question?
Again, and its effects on, you know, the weather.
Well, let's make it two questions. Has he mentioned it at all? And secondly, has he mentioned it in conjunction with weather modification? Rosalind, can you answer those questions?
Well, the president hasn't mentioned jet contrails because you would hardly expect that he would talk about what the Air Force is calling a hoax.
Oh, good point.
Or a conspiracy theory.
Uh-huh.
The second thing is that his science advisor, Mr. Holdren, has talked about geoengineering, putting up chemicals and particles into the atmosphere in order to prevent global warming or to at least mitigate global warming. So they are talking about, in other words, adding things to our atmosphere in order to mitigate global warming, but they haven't addressed the persistent jet contrails and how they exacerbate global warming. They haven't talked about aviation in general and its impact on the climate. So none of this is being discussed in any legislation or anything that's going on at the current time.
Okay, but it's almost as if they're planting seeds and saying, well, you know, this is a possibility and da 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 da.
Yes.
Okay, let's see if our phone system is back in order. Caller, you're live on the air, I hope.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, good. Hey, I wanted to talk about the storms that caused all the fires last summer.
Yes.
I watched the sky turn from clear blue to being completely socked in. And I even talked to people. I was at the hardware store. I was talking to people. I said, do you see what they're doing in the sky here today? And then that night, we had all those storms, and we had all the downstrikes and such.
Right. Let's stop for a second. What was unique about that is the degree of lightning and electrical storms was unprecedented.
Right. And all the weather people said, we didn't see anything coming. We didn't see anything here.
All of
a
sudden.
There wasn't anything. And then when the sun went down, the sunset was entirely white.
Okay.
There was no color in the sunset. And the other fun thing that I wanted to bring up really quickly here is that the German military have admitted to doing this, and they admitted to using barium. And they said that it was because of some radar thing.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Rosalind, would you like to comment on that? Have you found any research or any indications that the chemtrails are producing massive lightning strikes that might possibly create forest fires?
Well, I don't know so much about the jets, but I do know that there is our military and private agencies are conducting lightning experiments. And there's what they call ball lightning, and I invite your, you know, all of your listeners to go to my site under Forest Fires and under ball, B-A-L-L, lightning. There's a lot of experimentation going on, and there's a lot of unusual lightning striking all across the United States. I suspect that it's from some of these experiments that are being conducted by the United States Air Force in Florida and other areas. There's a tremendous amount of interest in controlling lightning and using lightning as a weapon. And so I wouldn't be surprised that California was hit hard. I went through this. It was awful. I can attest to what your guest, in other words, the caller said, because I was here under this, and many of my friends from other counties, and I can tell you we have never seen anything like it at all, ever. Mm-hmm. We had rotational lightning strikes. We had lightning strikes where the ground was burned 3 feet in diameter from strikes. I mean, it just crisped these circular areas on the ground, and we took pictures of those. So I can tell you that we've never seen anything like it. And other areas of the United States are experiencing similar events.
Okay. We've got another caller. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hello. I live in Carmichael, which is between the deposed airfields of Mather and McClellan, so it's a non-military area. We got commercial jets and civilian jets all the time here. But I have witnessed, albeit a few years ago, the apparent cross-hatching, which is not the same plane flying in circles like a military jet might do.
Right.
Three separate aircraft flying parallel and then coming back and doing a cross-hatch. And the theory then was that they were coordinating satellite with onboard positioning.
That was a story.
Yeah. My question, however, is in that our agencies such as the EPA or NOAA, whoever's doing the weather surveys, as you had mentioned, the military, and also NASA, are they exempt from any penalties regarding distributing this stuff in the atmosphere over what is basically residential areas?
There's no law, either state or federal, California law, and there's no federal law which precludes or says that the public has to be notified about atmospheric experimentation. It can be conducted without our consent, without notification. The EPA does, and any other agency like NOAA, NASA, none of them have to hold a discussion about any of this. And most of the time that they don't say much about what's going on, if anything.
Yes, so the atmosphere belongs to them as well as the rest of us. Further, there have been, even as local as our nearby town of Quincy, I've seen the CDF. I've read T-shirts about them, Operation Cloud Seed. They were relying on defenses such as seeding the clouds in the event of a fire for fire suppression. And I know that there's countries such as, I forget if it's China or Russia, that do actively seed clouds in order to stop wildfires. Are you aware of this?
I don't know about CDF. I do know about PG&E and some other corporations in California, for example. And I do know that weather modification programs are going on in California. There's about 30 of them that are not regulated, but they could be done for any purpose. And you have to know that when someone modifies the weather in one place, it will change the weather in another place. And this is really critical.
Absolutely. I might appreciate it for a fire emergency, but there might be seeding clouds just to get more water in their hydro reservoirs.
PG&E does do this, but however, there's so many other private interests that are moving water from one place to the other now, private individuals and corporations, that they're going to put one area into drought while they seed another area for more rainfall.
I appreciate your information. I wish we had a congressman around here who gave a damn.
Thanks for your call. Okay, another caller, I think. No, yep. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
I heard the president's science advisor say that they're not, this administration is not going to do geoengineering. And right after Obama got elected, I noticed that the jet stream stopped going to Juneau, where the Project HARP had been pulling it, I've been noticing from weather maps, but that's not managed to talk about very much. But no geoengineering. I was relieved to hear him say that. I don't know.
Rosalind, do you, from your research, does that seem to be so, that they're not doing geoengineering?
Well, I disagree, because if you go to the U.S. House of Representatives and you look up geoengineering hearing in the U.S. House on November 5th, 2009, they're holding hearings on the prospect of doing this. And this is just as of last November, or November this year. I would advise you to read the text, listen to the feed, and to read the text of the presentations of the people there who were all in favor of geoengineering for global warming.
Yeah, he said this before November.
Yeah, well, they're holding hearings now to look at this.
Okay, well, thank you.
There you go.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Can I answer one question you asked from before?
Absolutely.
Okay, you asked me about this Professor Gregory Benford, and he's a professor at UC Irvine. And Paul Moyer, who is a reporter from KNBC, he's very good, in Los Angeles, had a program on May 23rd, 2006, in which I was interviewed. But he also interviewed Professor Gregory Benford. And so what happened was, he was showed a copy of the persisting jet contrails here. And so what happened, this is part of the transcript that's very short. It says, after viewing a short film segment of the skies above San Francisco and Marin County, Professor Benford stated, quote, I think these are contrails. Paul Moyer, he says the Department of Energy doesn't know of any jets spraying chemicals to affect the weather. However, he says, we will probably see it in the near future. And then Gregory Benford responds, which is interesting. He said, quote, you've got to, in a sense, engineer all these so you get the right kind of clouds with the effect we want. Paul Moyer, the reporter, it is called geoengineering, fighting global warming by putting a chemical dust in the atmosphere and reflecting harmful radiation back into space. Gregory Benford, you could use barium oxide, for example, which makes big fluffy clouds. You could use tiny bits of aluminum, which is benign in the environment, and essentially manage the climate. And that's what they're talking about. And so they do know, this back in 2006 when this aired, this was the first time that we had any admission that they had used and we're considering using barium and aluminum, even though we were seeing it. And that when they say they can make man-made clouds, which is essentially what this is, and you can go to NASA and look up Patrick Minnis, and you can look up man-made clouds, and they're talking about the man-made clouds all the time.
Okay.
And the only thing I can say is the drawback of putting up particles of deflecting sunlight is that it's going to have huge impacts, because we'll have a lack of vitamin D from lack of sunlight, which will have human health problems. And photosynthesis causes all things to grow on Earth, all plants, everything. And if you don't have direct sunlight, you're going to have a lack of a crop production or lowered crop production, and the plants and trees won't grow very healthy or strong.
You also mentioned to me in our previous conversation that if, in fact, aluminum is filtering down and into the soil, when aluminum is in the soil, that prohibits the plant roots and tree roots from uptake of nutrients. And so you're going to have less healthy plants and trees. Is that correct?
Yes. If aluminum gets into the tree roots, okay, what happens is the tree cannot uptake either water or nutrients, and the tree will look like it's strangling to death from drought, essentially. And also, aluminum changes the pH of the soil, and the soils need a certain pH for crops to proliferate, trees to grow in various areas. When you dramatically change the pH, which is happening in Shasta County and some other counties, you're going to have lowered crop production and tree death.
Okay, and also, when we're talking about tree deaths, I know in our area we've got a problem with bark beetles, and bark beetles tend to infest weakened trees. Weakened trees might be weakened by aluminum in the soil, when the aluminum soil might have gotten their care of your friendly government. So it seems like there might be quite a number of effects. We've only got a few minutes left, and I've got one bottom line question. If my, and listeners, if my soil produces the food I eat, the air that I breathe, the water that I drink, if all of this is being contaminated by the government for whatever purposes they're doing, what can I do about it?
First of all, we have to take it up with them. We have to do the presentations. We have to become, as a people, our own lobbyists. And we have to lobby them very hard. And that's why I've taken up going to Washington, D.C., and lobbying every single office whenever possible. It was twice in 2009, and we're going shortly in January, and also going to their offices and educating them about what's going on and why direct sunlight is important. These issues are here. The research, the documentation is online. It's available, the public records. And I encourage everyone to educate yourself and then start to make the case, not a case about a conspiracy theory, but about a case about what's really happening on the ground. And the water tests are available. They're all public record from the California State Department of Health Drinking Water Division. There's all kinds of testing going on. So, and it's every day. Tests are required, thousands of them every month, that are all processed and sent to the California State Department of Health Drinking Water Division. So I encourage you to look at the records. I encourage you to have, in other words, contact those of us who are working in this area. There are petitions to sign. There are all kinds of things that take us out of the realm of any conspiracy theory but put us into the realm of hard facts. And we can, working together, we can all make a difference.
Okay. And one further point to make, and that is, the Air Force has already admitted that they're releasing chaff, which is aluminum and asbestos. We're breathing that stuff. And if you'll notice, you as a taxpayer are spending a small fortune to redo condemned schools and condemned buildings because it has asbestos in it. And at the same time, here we are paying our government to fill our skies with asbestos and aluminum. Doesn't make much sense. Rosalind, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you very much for being our guest. And if people want to get more informed, please give us your website again and other websites you consider important.
Okay. If you'd like to contact me, I'm at californiaskywatch.com. That's all one word, all spelled out. My database website for research purposes is the agricultural. It's agriculture. defensecoalition.com. I write for articles for news, N-E-W-S, with views, V-I-E-W-S.com. And you can go there, and on the left-hand side, you'll find my name, Rosalind Peterson, and you can click on my name, and it will bring up an archive of articles on these subjects.
Okay. Rosalind, thank you very much for being our guest and a very informative show. And I wish you a good New Year's.
And thank you. The same to you. And it's been an honor being on your show. Thank you for asking me.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. You guys wanted a show on chemtrails? You got one.